Time can go by really slowly when you're waiting for something to happen. Just ask Julian Assange. The WikiLeaks founder this week marks 2 years of staying inside Ecuador's embassy in London. He sought refuge there to avoid extradition to Sweden, where he still faces allegations of sexual misconduct. Ecuador's foreign minister says Assange can stay for as long as necessary. So for now, Assange continues to live in a cramped office building. And that got us wondering, what's that like? Our producer in London, Leo Hornack, just happens to have been to the Ecuadorian embassy in London. You were part of a production team that met Assange, Leo. So tell us where the embassy is, first of all, in the city.
Hi, Marco. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty surreal, strange experience. You're in one of the most expensive, kind of luxurious parts of London near Harrods in Kensington. And it's a kind of pretty anonymous street, except in the middle of that street, there's a whole bunch of armed police with assault rifle standing at, looking a bit bored on the street corner, which is not the normal kind of thing you expect in a kind of sunny, high-class London street.
So you get inside. What happens next? When do you actually meet Assange, and what kind of room is he in?
Well, you go through the front door. You know, you have this moment where there's a sort of reception desk. And I don't know if you remember when you were a kid and you're sort of going around for a play date with a friend. You know, there's that moment where you go and knock on their parents' door and you say, you know, hey, is Marco in? And Marco comes down the stairs with, you know, ready for the afternoon. And it right. felt a bit like that. We went in, we said, you know, we're here to see Julian. And there was a kind of moment, they didn't exactly shout, Julian, there's someone to see you. But it had that kind of, you kind of expect him to turn up with a baseball mitt in one hand. It was that kind of atmosphere that he was in charge. He was the person we were coming to see. But he wasn't really sort of his own man in that house.
What was he like?
There's a very strange aura to Julian Assange, and it's strange in person as well as on the TV. It's this strange mix of sort of statesmanlikeness, which you can see he's striving for, and he kind of achieves. But at the same time, at the edge, there's this sort of slight anxiety, this slight kind of mischievousness at the same time, and nervousness that is kind of buzzing around him. So he would walk down the stairs, walk into the room, surrounded by these kind of WikiLeaks volunteers, very young volunteers, very enthusiastic, and he would sort of stride in, but he would be kind of glancing around at the corners, kind of just trying to assess the impression he was making, or at least that was how I felt it was. So there's this tension between someone who is very keen to be the centre of events, very keen to be taken seriously, but who's also kind of insecure at the same time.
How does he pass the time in the Ecuadorian embassy? I mean, dare I ask you, does he spend a lot of time online?
Well, I would assume so, but I really couldn't say. I mean, we didn't see inside his personal kind of rooms. But in that building, there's a strange kind of double sense. Just as I was saying, there's a sort of statesmanlikeness, but also an anxiety and a nervousness and an insecurity. Mm. You could feel that in the room that we met him in for this meeting, this interview. It, on the one hand, was this quite kind of ambassadorial room. There was this big polished table, as you would picture in the inside of an embassy. And Julian was seated at a formal table there, sat kind of straight-backed, looking everyone in the eye, you know. At the same time, just behind him, there was sort of faded tourism posters for Ecuador, and you know, there were kind of a dusty, discarded old 10-year-old computer and a computer printer on the floor, and it was all a bit kind of sort of chaotic and messy, and to me that sort of summed up the strangeness of the whole situation, because on the one hand we were talking to someone who was absolutely at the center of world affairs, but on the other hand, we're talking to someone who has absolutely no control over their own environment.
Yeah, it's kind of surreal. Quite the assignment, Leo. Leo Hornack is our London-based producer. Leo, thanks for telling us the story.
Not at all, Marco. Thanks.